Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
This is True Crime Cast. Jamie here with John. What's happening?
Dude, it feels like fall outside. So football is in the air and I'm so excited.
Yeah. I love it when it cools down. Don't like feeling sweaty.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where in the morning in Kentucky, you could probably throw on a jacket and by 1 or 2 o'clock, you could jump in a swimming pool.
I went to Los Angeles a couple weeks ago and actually got a comment on one of our TikToks where I was saying I like the weather. They were like, is 105 good to you? And I think you may disagree, but in certain areas of the country where it's not as humid, like 95 feels worse here than 100 does in LA.
When I went to New Mexico, it was 110 degrees. But it felt okay because it wasn't humid.
You can breathe.
Like you didn't go outside and like instantly start just feeling like you were drowning in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but sign me up. Yeah. Dry heat is the way to go.
So I enjoyed that in LA and tried to make a lot of TikToks out there. It was a good time, but we have a good time coming today as well. To get us started, I want to give some thank yous. These are the comments over on Spotify that came in today. This one's from a few weeks ago from the Oscar Pistorius case. This comes from Kate, and she says, great, concise coverage, jealousy, ego, and zero remorse afterwards. We followed this trial daily here in South Africa. This comes from Belinda Barnett. Hi, guys. Yet another great episode as usual. This goes to show you how screwed up our justice system is here in South Africa. Keep up the good fight, Belinda and Martin. Barnett from Johannesburg. Thanks for commenting there. And this one was on our Colleen Slimmer and Krista Pike case from last week. And Gordon Nelson stopped by to remind me. We said, we tried to remember a killer who had requested the death penalty. And Gordon says, serial killer Israel Keyes might be the one who you were thinking of who requested the death penalty. He died by suicide before it could happen. And Gordon, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's wild. Thank you, Gordon, for helping us out. I wish we had we could have an intern in here Googling stuff and fact-checking us. And if we have a question like that on the fly, they could just pull it up.
Yeah, however you feel about Joe Rogan, I wish we had a Jamie. I know I'm Jamie, but on his podcast, it's always,
we need
Jamie, can you pull that up? Can you check that, Jamie?
I've been saying, man, we need to have a personal assistant for business stuff and personal. So let's make that happen.
Good luck with that.
All right. I want to say thank you to all of our Patreon members. While I don't have any specific brand new ones to thank today, I just want to say thank you in general. We are posting a lot of content over there early and ad-free, and then we have a monthly exclusive show. Jamie and I are in the process of finding new intro music for the show, and I just pitched to him the idea of letting our Patreon members be the first to hear those options. And maybe even do a poll where you get to vote on which one you like better. At the end of the day, I think we have creative liberty, but I do want to hear from our Patreon fans just to see if they like it and agree which one we want to go with. So, yeah.
Yep.
They get to do that.
Would love to have your help over there because John and I don't agree on music. So,
yep, because I'm right and you are wrong.
There we go.
Jamie, this is a fascinating case. It's been on my radar for years. And I'm honestly surprised we have never covered it.
We always go back and check, are we sure we didn't talk about this one? Just to make sure. I mean, sometimes we'll refer to different names within cases and that kind of thing. But this one, I feel like we went back and we're like, are we really, really sure? Because this is so familiar. And maybe that's just because it's so, I don't know, fascinating.
I mean, I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen YouTube videos of this. We're going to play some clips for you here in a moment. But with that being said, Jamie, why don't you get the ball rolling?
The morning of August 5th, 2009, Dahlia DiPolito was at the gym when she got the phone call nobody ever wants to get. It was the Boynton Beach Police Department in South Florida. Sergeant Frank Radzi called and told her to get home as fast as she could. When she arrived, Dahlia was told that her husband, Mike DiPolito, had been murdered. It's a call you never want to get. She broke down in tears in a video that eventually went viral on YouTube. So let's go ahead and listen to part of that.
I'm Sergeant Ramsey. I'm the one that called you. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry to call you. Listen, we had a report of a disturbance at your house, and there were shots fired. Is your husband Michael? Okay, I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am. He's been killed.
No, he's
been killed, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, he's not.
Listen.
No.
Try to calm down.
No.
Listen. Right now, what
no.
we need to get you to the station.
No.
We need to get you to our police station.
I want to see
I can't let you in, ma'am. We have to do our job. If you want us to find his killer, okay, we need you to calm down. I'm going to need you to go with these detectives, okay? Does he have enemies? Is there anyone that would want to hurt him? Okay, who would want to hurt him? Witnesses said they saw a black male running from me. I can't let you see him, ma'am. Ma'am, I cannot do this right now. Ma'am, I can't do it. Detective Yopi, I need you to take her to the station. I can't, ma'am. Go with these detectives. If you want to help your husband, okay? If you want to help your husband, you need to go to the station with these gentlemen and tell us everything you know about who he knows, who he's connected to. Don't worry, we've already taken care of dogs with animal control for right now. Everything's under control. And we'll take care of everything else, okay? Thank you, guys.
So we often talk about how it's impossible to judge somebody's intention based on their reactions. Usually we talk about that in the context of a 911 call, but here we have her in person being told that her husband has been killed and immediately went into a really frantic screaming fit, John.
I mean, it's heart-wrenching, right, to hear something like that. And yeah, I don't know how I would react if you or an officer had to tell me that my wife or my children had been murdered. You want to think that you would be, I don't know. I don't think you can ever really know until you're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. And she certainly, she sounds upset. So we'll just leave it at that for now. So they take her down and they start interrogating her about what enemies Mike may have. But they also were very suspicious of Dahlia and started interrogating her as if she was a suspect.
Let me give you a little bit more background on both Dahlia and Mike. So Dahlia was born Dahlia Muhammad in New York City on October 18th, 1982. I mean, Jamie, this woman is our age, right?
Right.
So she and her two siblings were raised by an Egyptian father and a Peruvian mother. When Dahlia was 13, the family moved down to Boynton Beach, Florida, where she graduated in 2000. That's, I mean, right around when we were in school.
Yep.
After school, she really didn't know what she wanted to do. So she went in and got her real estate license and began working nights as an escort. That's two businesses that don't really go hand in hand. But yeah, she was making a ton of money in one of them and not the other.
Yeah, both can be very lucrative depending on what you're doing. And how well you're doing.
Well, and her employment as an escort is how she would meet Mike. They would meet in 2008. And it's one of those situations where it seemed like it was love at first sight, except for the fact Mike was already married.
And so, again, he's approaching her as a sex worker.
Yeah. So that's probably not going to work out great.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just put that out there.
Yeah, it doesn't speak well of his marriage, I would think. So when Mike did meet Dahlia, he immediately fell for her. He started seeing her regularly, and then he filed for divorce, trying to speed that along. His divorce was finalized in February of 2009, and he married Dahlia just 5 days later. The two moved in together. He lived in a $250,000 condo in Boynton Beach. And a lot of people call that area the winter wonderland of the wealthy. Mike and Dahlia were often seen together working out in the mornings. They'd go to the gym. They would work out outside. And at nighttime, they would go out for dates and could regularly be seen out in the biggest spots in South Florida. Dahlia left a love note for Mike on the refrigerator reading, "Happiest I've ever been." And another said, "Completely unreal. My dream guy. Love you now, always, and forever." So it seems like we got a really happy couple here.
Yeah, and before meeting her, Mike had served time in prison for fraud. It's not a great segue, but I think it's important to note that Mike is not only is he having an affair with a sex worker, but he has a past with some white collar crime.
Everybody's coming in with some baggage.
He sold fake currency securities and stole thousands of dollars from investors. So when these two were married, he was still on probation, and he would actually be on probation for another 25 years after they got married. Jamie, I guess, you know, he didn't spend a ton of time in jail, but they do a long probation on these type of cases because, you know, just in case you're ever caught again, you can go back to prison a little easier, I guess. Does that make sense?
And for longer.
He also owed nearly $200,000 in restitution to his victims. And we've talked about restitution. These people will never get all of their money back. But basically, you know, there's a lot of people that would want to hurt Mike because you got my money, I'm going to bust your kneecaps kind of situation.
Yeah.
So when Mike and Dahlia got together, Mike had already had a lot of stuff going on in his past, but it didn't take long for him to start having other weird encounters with law.
One evening, he was pulled over by officers while bringing Dahlia home from dinner. Police found cocaine on Mike, which would have meant he broke his probation. He was in violation of his parole, but Mike somehow convinced the police that they were not his.
Okay.
How can you be caught with cocaine and convince police it's not yours?
I feel like I couldn't. So I don't know how he, I mean, isn't that what everybody says?
I think, it's not mine.
I don't know how I got here. And then they're like, okay, cool. I get it.
They let him go. Then not a police encounter, but still something weird that happened was one day while Dahlia was gone to Starbucks, Mike got so sick that he thought he was going to die. He was in bed for several days. There was another morning when police told Mike that they had received an anonymous tip that he was dealing drugs, which he also had to refute. So it seems like around every turn, Mike is faced with jail time or severe illness. He's happy with Dahlia, but things aren't going well for him physically and personally, I guess. There's no evidence that he was dealing drugs as far as we know, but in order to protect his assets, his lawyer advised him to transfer the title of his condo to Dahlia. Just in case he was arrested, that would allow him to, I guess him and Dahlia, to keep the condo and it wouldn't be confiscated and used for restitution and that kind of thing. So in July of 2009, and again, they'd just been married for a few months, he transfers his home into his wife's name.
Jamie, hear me out. We live close enough. You want to just transfer your house to my name, you know?
No, I'd really like to have that value.
Okay.
That as that asset.
I've known you for 20 years.
A lot longer than Mike knew Dahlia.
What Mike did not know at the time, but maybe you guys have figured it out at this point, Dahlia was the one who gave the police the anonymous tip about Mike being a drug dealer. In fact, Dahlia had been planning different ways to get rid of Mike for weeks. She approached a man that she knew named Muhammad. Now, Muhammad was a part-time actor, and he also worked at a convenience store, but the two of them known each other for a while because they had been friends with benefits for years, and it allegedly didn't end after Dahlia got married. So, hey, Mike's having an affair with his wife when they got married, so might as well just you have an affair too. You know, this is a great relationship.
And it's hard to tell whether she's continuing sex work and getting paid for this, or this is just an affair, sex outside of marriage.
That's a good point. So Dahlia approached Muhammad about hiring a hitman to kill her husband, and this didn't sit right with Muhammad. So he took this information to the Boynton Beach police and said, hey, I've got a situation here that you guys need to know about.
Oddly enough, the week that Muhammad took this information to the Boynton Police Department was when the TV show Cops was there filming. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? That was a huge show when we were younger.
Well, and now Live PD is kind of picked up where it left off, and now it's gone, and I think there's a new one. But long story short, my daughter and I love this show, and I am no doubt going to be the father of a police officer. My daughter loves watching this show, and we have seen this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can still find it online. And the show's producer agreed that this was a good case for them to follow up on. So the police set up a hidden camera in Muhammad's car and told him to set up a meeting with Dahlia to go over the details of this potential hit. This meeting took place on July 30th of 2009. Muhammad told Dahlia in the parking lot of a gas station that he had found somebody who was willing to kill her husband for money. At that time, Dahlia gave Muhammad $1,200 in cash to buy a gun and handed him photos of Mike so that they would know who to target.
I feel like if you're hiring a hitman, them bringing their own gun to the table should be a prerequisite.
Yeah.
Like, I want an experienced hitman, and if I have to buy you a gun, I'm not so confident in your skills.
Also, that is another way to tie you to the crime. So, yeah, that seems big red flag.
Especially if it's, I mean, you know, if you buy a gun at a store in America, it's going to be registered to you.
Right.
So unless you bought it, you know, from a private sale, which is illegal, then yeah, it's going to be tied to you. So 2 days after all of this went down, Dahlia was scheduled to meet with the alleged hitman to coordinate the details of the crime. I've never thought about getting a hitman, but I'm thinking of all the things I wouldn't do. And I would probably just go through Muhammad and tell Muhammad what needs to happen. I'm not going to meet with this guy. That way there's no record of us ever being together.
Right.
Anyway, there was another hidden camera that was in the car of an undercover officer named Whitey Jean. And this was for the meeting on August 1st, 2009. So basically what I'm saying is the hitman was an undercover cop. During this meeting, Dahlia gave Whitey her husband's schedule and told him that she wanted Mike killed in their home. Whitey said, "You definitely want to do this?" Like, making sure that it's recorded with her saying, "Yes." She said, "There's no changing my mind. I'm determined already. I'm positive, like 5,000% sure." So this is going to be great in court one day, right? They have her telling this guy what she wants done. How could they not win this case?
And you would think there are times when you go to trial with a confession and somebody's just kind of beating around the bush about what they might have done. In this situation, they're like, "Are you really, really sure you want me to kill your husband?" She's like, "Absolutely."
Well, and when I was researching this case, part of me was like, why didn't they just stop? Like, they could have stopped all of this from happening. They could have not even had the undercover cop go in and just say, "Hey, you tried to get a hitman. We're arresting you." Well, by going through this process and filming it all, it is going to be a conviction that sticks, you would think.
And great content for cops.
Yeah, and like you said, the show Cops just happened to be there when all this was pitched, and they were like, "Hey, we'll help you out." So they made the scene very realistic. They helped the actual police a lot. So in a text message that would have been revealed in her trial, Dahlia said this about her husband, Mike. She said, quote, "I really hate him and I want him to rot," end quote. Now, after she assured Whitey that she wanted to go through with the hit, Dahlia gave him $7,000 and agreed to go to the gym that morning of August 5th to establish her alibi. She's thought this out pretty well.
Yeah, it seems like she's worked it out with Muhammad and Whitey, spelled W-I-D-Y for the record. We've told you that she was called and told that her husband was killed. So when we get back from the break, we'll talk about what that call was really about and what happened when she was being interrogated. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, Dahlia was called to her home and told that her husband was killed. She was taken down to the police department and was asked about his enemies, of which we've covered he had many. But also, she was a suspect herself. And this is part of the interrogation that went down and how she, Dahlia, got the shock of her life.
"You want to cooperate with us, whatever you want to do. It's over and done once I walk out. I'm not coming back in to talk to you. And no one else is here. What do you want to do before I leave here? Because the next officer comes here, going to handcuff you and take you to the jail."
"I see my husband, please."
"No, he doesn't want to see you. He doesn't want to see you. I'm leaving now." Can I have an officer come in here and cuff this, the person?
I don't know what's going on, please.
Can we go ahead and arrest her for solicitation for first degree murder?
No, please, get the cuff in here, please.
Can you stand up?
Stand up, please.
Oh my god.
She's alive.
Come here, please. Come here. Mike, come here. Come here, please. Come here.
Can't fix it.
Why not? I didn't do anything to
you. I heard you.
Mike, come here, please. Come here.
Okay. Thank you. Can we take her back to booking, please?
So, she didn't know that Mike was actually alive until she got like hours into this interrogation and he just walked in the room.
Yeah. The officer said something like, he doesn't want to see you. And I think that was like, I think in her mind, she's like, what?
Cause she was saying she wanted to see his body.
Right. But then he said, he doesn't want to see you. But then after there was like a little pause there, he just walks behind or out from behind the door and she realizes, oh crap, I'm busted.
What a reveal, man. This is like reality show caught on camera stuff. And thankfully he is alive here. Right. So
you can kind of see, if you watch this entire interview, you can sense just the frustration with the detective because he knows exactly what's going on. And you know, anybody hates being lied to. And this woman is just adamant. And I think you can kind of even hear it in his voice when he's on the scene telling her that Mike has been shot. And she starts doing her fake cry. Like the officer just wants to get away. He's done with the bull crap.
And knowing what we know now that she set this hit up, looking back at him telling her, there was no, I feel like there's usually a moment of shock and disbelief. She immediately screamed. And she immediately kind of went nuts. And you can see, you can find this video, the look on his face, his demeanor was obviously annoyed. So what happened? How did Mike end up there? And how did they end up trapping her in this arrest? Once they found out what was going down and that she was trying to put out a hit on him, the police department went to Mike directly and told him that his wife wanted to kill him. He was shocked. He had no idea. He felt like their relationship was perfect and didn't know what was happening. So the police department went about staging a crime scene at their house so that Dahlia would believe that her plan had worked. That morning, she got up and went to the gym at 6 a.m., where Sergeant Ramsey called her and told her to come home. While she was gone, the police made her home look like a crime scene. They went all out. Police cars, ambulance, police tape. It was quite the production. When Dahlia came back, she saw everything out there. There was even a forensic photographer out there taking pictures of the house. So to her, her plan had worked, and now she just had to get away with it. And all in the next couple hours, her entire plan in life is turned upside down.
Yeah, the detectives would tell her that her husband was dead, and then, of course, you know, that she was wailing and sobbing. So they took her in, and once she was in, that's when she wasted no time listing off all the people that would want Mike dead, mostly because of his past legal troubles. She told the investigators that people weren't happy with him because he was getting off on probation for taking a lot of money from him, and it was a lot of money that he's got to pay back. Then detectives decided to push Dahlia a little further. They actually had the undercover officer, Whitey, come into the room in handcuffs, and they told Dahlia that this man was supposedly seen fleeing her house that morning. So now she's thinking, okay, well, they've got the guy that did it, and I know this guy, but Whitey pretended not to know her, and she pretended not to know him.
The big question to me at this point is why? Why are we still going through all this? Is it, because I feel like at this point they have enough for an open and shut case. Are they just trying to make sure they have a good prosecution?
I think you're right. And I think at this point, they're just doing this for entertainment's sake. Because cops is there. And so they have everything they need, open, shut case. This just feels like they're messing with her.
Yeah,
and for our entertainment.
Yeah. So by then, obviously, the jig was up and she knew what was happening. And they brought Mike into the room. Mike came in and he told her that she knew everything. She begged him to help her, and he said, "You're on your own," and walked out. She was arrested and charged with solicitation of a first-degree murder. She gets her one phone call in jail, and who does she call? Her husband, Mike.
I'm going to go ahead and say that if my wife wants to have me killed and I know about it, and then she's calling me asking for help, not going to be very helpful.
Yeah, that's
probably not taking the call.
I was going to say, I don't know that I picked that one up, but he did, and she denied everything. She was acting mad at him for not helping her get an attorney. So she was trying to turn this all over back on him, which obviously is not going to help her here. He told her he would get her a lawyer once she put the title of his home back in his name. Now we know, A, she probably planted the cocaine earlier, and this was part of her plan to get the house in her name for when she either got him arrested or killed him. She refused to put it back in his name.
This is there's a lot of shocking stuff in this case, but to me, this is a big shock. She was released from jail the next day on a $25,000 bail while she awaited trial. I mean, I don't know that I would give her bail. Would I be too mean of a judge?
No, not at all. I mean, he didn't die, but she had tried to kill him when he got really sick. Spoiler alert, she had poisoned him.
Yeah.
Like, she's dangerous. She's dangerous to Mike. And if she's dangerous in that way and is going to hire a hitman, I think she's danger to society. That's very surprising to me.
So let's fast forward to the spring of 2011. Dahlia is on trial for attempting to hire a hitman to murder her husband. The prosecution argued that Dahlia wanted her husband dead so that she could have control of all of his assets. But a stunning defense move pointed the finger back at Mike. We talked to the prosecutors on our bonus episode a few weeks ago, and I wish that we could have spent some time talking to them about the defense because, you know, I get that everyone deserves to have a defense attorney present and advocating for sentencing and stuff, but am I off the chain and unhinged for saying, like, these defense attorneys are dirtbags? They claimed that this was a publicity stunt for TV, and that Dahlia and Mike arranged all of this from the beginning. Mike knew what was happening, and this was Mike's idea because he wanted to get famous and go viral and then eventually start a reality TV show.
First, I think off the chain when this happened meant really cool, right?
Okay. Off the rails?
I've never been off the chain.
I don't know. I can't keep up with.
I don't think that you're off in saying that it was a wild move. Was viral even a thing then? I know we had reality shows. The internet wasn't popular enough to go viral. I think social
YouTube
media by that point
was just about to happen.
So here's the thing. They had to provide a defense for her. And what are you going to say that makes sense? Is there any defense here unless she tries to plead insanity?
I think that's the thing I say as her defense attorney is to say, woman, you don't want to go to trial for this. The police have done everything and some. You're going to want to plead out of this.
But I guess she didn't want to. Like, they had to say something. So I don't blame them for this, but I'm just glad it didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, can you refuse to take on a client? Like, if you are court appointed and you're like a public defender,
no.
Can you say, I'm not doing it? You know, somebody has to represent her. And this was like the lowest man on the totem pole.
Recuse yourself if there are personal issues, but not just because you know it's an unwinnable case.
And I guess you can't ethically get up there and say, Your Honor, there's no defense for this person. Just have mercy on her soul.
Yeah. I wish we could, but we can't.
She said that he knew he was being filmed and she knew that she was talking to an undercover officer the whole time. And all of this was Mike's idea. Her lawyer said that this was a stunt that Michael himself knew about. Whether he'll admit it or not, he hoped to capture the attention of someone in reality TV. Michael's hoax to achieve fame and fortune was a bad prank. This was certainly more than a prank if this part is not true. So this defense did not work, and the jury found her guilty. She was sentenced to 20 years, and at the sentencing, the judge called her murder for hire plot pure evil.
I think that's uh, That's a good phrase for it. But as we know, it's not over when it's over. And this one wasn't either. In 2014, an appeals court ruled that the jury for Dahlia's trial was improperly selected. And I think this is just like the desperate defense. This is a desperate appeal. This meant that Dahlia would get a new trial. Of course, they went back and forth for years about this because the prosecution didn't want to do a new trial. They felt like it was open and shut and it costs a lot of money. But in December of 2016, the second trial for Dahlia began. This time, she had a different defense attorney, this guy named Brian Claypool. And this time, they did decide to use the coverage in the show Cops, but in a different way. Claypool argued that the police, instead of Mike, were so focused on trying to create a good TV product for the show that they botched this investigation around Dahlia and Mike. This is a quote from her attorney, said, "This never really was a credible police investigation. Rather, Dahlia DiPolito was used as a pawn by the Boynton Beach Police Department to manufacture good TV for the Cops TV show." This strategy would say that the police department were guilty of misconduct when they staged the crime scene, which I do believe that is above and beyond, something that I don't think we've seen before, and that they made it way more than it ever was for television. He said the presence of Cops TV show created a frenzy within the area and that they were desperate to manufacture good television. Of course, the Boynton Beach Police Department denied any wrongdoing. At the end of the trial, the jury could not reach a unanimous verdict, and it was declared a mistrial.
That's wild to me.
All that evidence. But if you're going to call the police department into question, then that calls all the evidence into question, if you can convince the jury, and obviously they convinced somebody.
So Dahlia was released on house arrest after this trial. She actually gave birth to a son just before her final trial, which would take place in 2017. This time, the jury reached a guilty verdict, and Dahlia was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Her attorney has continued to appeal for her, but her conviction was upheld by the Florida's 4th District Court of Appeals in March of 2019, and the Florida Supreme Court rejected her request to review her conviction. Dahlia's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court was refused in February of 2020, and at this point, she has run out of appeals, so Dahlia will remain at the Lovell Correctional Institution in Ocala, Florida, until 2032.
That is, unless some new evidence is discovered that will provide some other sort of legal relief. Dahlia's case has been featured on 2020, on Dateline. Obviously, you can go back and see the Cops footage. Her attorneys in those specials said Dahlia was the most misunderstood woman in the United States. The perception that people have in the world about Dahlia does not equate with what Dahlia is and who she is. He goes on to say she was never a criminal, a career criminal. In fact, Dahlia didn't even have a criminal record before all this went down. She's apparently really resilient. And her attorney says she is not giving up hope for a new trial. While she's in prison, Dahlia has been leading a Bible study group. And while I question everything she did before the trial, I really hope this is sincere and she's trying to move in a positive direction. She still does get to see her son, who's now 5 years old, and he lives with Dahlia's mom while Dahlia is in prison. And obviously, they spend a lot of time in these specials talking about that, and her attorney talks about how heartbreaking it is for her to be away from her son and how unjust it is that she ended up being put in prison for as long as she is for this crime that was really just made for quality television. I think this case raises a lot of questions, John.
All right. What are some of the questions?
Where's the line between entertainment and injustice, maybe? We tell stories. We tell crime stories. And we do that, and people listen and support us. But we would never go out and make news to cover. And it seems like in some way they may have crossed that line a little bit with setting up. Now, I'm not saying she should get out of prison because of it, but it does, like you said, it seems like they went a little far with the interrogation, with setting up the fake crime scene at her house for publicity.
Yeah. I think everything they did was fine. I think having Whitey come in handcuffs, I think at some point, if I'm a detective, I am going to have him come in, but it's not going to be in handcuffs. It's not going to be for dramatic flair. It's going to be to say, ma'am, I am the hitman that you hired, and I am in fact an undercover cop. Everything that you said to me has been recorded, and you are now under arrest for the attempted murder of your husband.
Yeah.
But I don't think that anything cops did, and the police department using cops, I don't think anything that they did should be illegal or that they shouldn't have done it. I think if cops are given the ability to stop a crime before it happens, shouldn't they utilize every tool they possibly have in their toolbox? I think most cops would dream about being able to know about a crime before it happens so they can prevent it. And they did. I mean, thank God she told Muhammad, and thank goodness Muhammad had the wherewithal to tell police, and that police took him serious and stopped it, because she could have just as easily told somebody else that would have actually helped her find a hitman, and Mike would be dead. And Dahlia attempted to kill him herself. She poisoned his Starbucks coffee and he didn't die.
But they could have arrested her, I think, right after she confessed or hired Whitey, right after she gave him $7,000 up front. I think it could have ended there. We went on to stage a crime scene at the house and interrogation.
Everything after that was for drama. So yeah. You're right in that sense. But
again, I'll say I don't think that compromises what happened at trial. I think she's guilty and should be in prison for solicitation for first degree murder.
Yeah.
But I do think they went a little too far.
But I'm glad they did, because it was entertaining. It is
entertaining. Yeah, I get that. And
in this case, wouldn't have been nearly as fun to talk about if they hadn't, to get to see Mike walk into the interrogation room, sign me up. And then for her to have the fake crying and all that stuff. Yeah, you're right. Did it need to happen? No. Could she have got convicted anyway? Yeah. But I'm glad that it happened, because it was awesome.
But think about the risk. What if they choose not to arrest her that day and she's like, screw it, I'm going to do it myself. And yeah. She kills him.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't know that she would have done that.
And think about the backlash from the community if the police knew that she had tried to kill her husband, knew that, she had hired a hitman, and then she just got tired of waiting and did it herself.
Yeah.
Then you're in deep crap. Maybe they knew there wasn't a gun in the home, but you can kill somebody with stabbing them.
She tried to poison them already.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. But at the end of the day, I'm still really glad it happened the way it did.
Yeah. High entertainment value. I encourage people to go watch that episode of Cops, but I do think this is going to cause me to watch those types of shows a little bit differently. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to be critical of, didn't need to do that part.
Yeah, I'm still going to be highly entertained. I guess that's just a dirtbag.
Well, like I said, we are telling stories about these crimes to entertain in a lot of ways. So
fair enough.
So that line is, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, or am I? I don't know. I'm very confused.
We'll let you know later if this is our last episode. Yeah, I'm leaning towards keeping going. Jamie seems a little on the fence.
I don't think I'm going to quit, but it's just, I don't know. It's always good to pause and step back and say, is what we're doing and other people are doing, is it helpful or harmful?
True.
I think we go out of our way to not be harmful, but
I feel like we, out of every other podcast I've ever listened to on crime, tend to be advocates of the victim and not just solely glorifying the crime or the criminal.
I didn't mean for us to get this deep. Sorry.
It's okay.
Where we ended up.
I got my boots on. We can go deep. That's a redneck saying.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's off the chain.
Off the chain. That's a good name for this episode.
I think
off
it the is. Chain. We appreciate you guys so much for listening. We'd love to hear your feedback. Maybe you're on board with John and you think, let's ham it up. Let's stage every scene to really put on display everything that happened. Cause you're right. The story got a lot more publicity because of it. Maybe a lot of people decided not to do something wrong because of it? Or is it too much and compromising the integrity of the system?
All right, guys. Hey, before you go, I do have a quick Patreon update, and I feel terrible, but I do have to let you know what's happening. We got an email, and it said that Apple is charging Patreon because Patreon uses the iOS app, basically. Yeah. So Apple is going to start charging Patreon a 30% fee on every new Patreon. That starts in November. And I think for the last couple of years, we've said prices will not go up. We're not going to raise prices. Well, to be fair, we haven't raised prices. Apple has raised prices. So starting in November, if you're a brand new Patreon, you'll notice that there is a fee that, you know, if you join the $3 a month level, there'll be a 30% fee added onto that. We can't control that. That is the new normal going forward. We're not making any more money. And we're not losing money, but Apple has to have their hand in the pocket too.
That is some great incentive to sign up before November.
I'm not trying to be a salesman, but if you have been on the fence, don't wait until November. Go ahead and sign up now, because once you're in, you're grandfathered in and you're fine. At least for right now, Apple can do whatever they want without telling us, and we can vent on Patreon about that. But yeah, think about it. If you're on the fence and want to do it now. Save yourself some money.
We appreciate you guys so much. We'll be back tomorrow with another True Crime to Go.
Until next crime, this has been True Crimecast.
You've listened to True Crimecast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.